Hello and welcome to episode 127 of the Talking Talkie podcast. I'm Will Taylor, joined by Sam Drew. It's only a two-header today, Sam, but it's the best two, I would argue.
This is, I think the people listening to this is how people are going to feel when Oasis reform.
Exactly. That's exactly it. We had our spell on the radio, but we've come back to our roots, haven't we? That's what it's all about. We've come back to our roots. As I say, this is the Talking Talkie podcast, reviewing, obviously, this episode will be about, obviously, of course, the, what have I forgotten, with Slough and Braintree. And then we'll have a look at Avely as well and all that sort of thing. But it is good. It's good to be back with you, man. It is, isn't it?
I've missed a really warm studio listening to Seagulls, and I've listened to handing over to someone who's going to give us the birthdays. I mean,
exactly.
I miss really left field musician birthdays.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I miss it as well. You know, we've never heard of him, but we'll pretend we will. For those who aren't aware, obviously, if we do chuck a song in halfway through, that's just out of habit. So I do apologise in advance. No, of course. I mean, it's been, on paper, Sam, the perfect bank holiday weekend, isn't it, in terms of football? 6 points, two games, one away, one home. Could have been less. But I don't think I've ever come away from 6 points feeling quite so dejected. I don't know if you feel that sort of pain.
I felt really weird. Obviously, like Saturday, I'll be honest, I didn't listen to it. I kept an eye on it on Twitter and on Flash Score. But I'll be honest, I wasn't that kind of invested. I was, to be honest with you, I was cleaning the house. And then
Such a middle-aged man.
Yeah, well, you know. I went to the pub to watch the West Ham game, and I made an afternoon of that. Because I'll be honest, I just feel a bit disattached at the moment. Obviously I'm really pleased with Brad Ash to get a couple, because he was a player that you could tell confidence wise needed something.
Yeah, 100%.
What I like about Brad Ash though is he puts a shift in regardless. So he's my type of player. Obviously, I did go on Monday, and I left feeling like I was excited because we'd won late on. Don't get me wrong. Regardless of the league and the performance, it's always exciting to win late on. But I mean, that first half, that was hard work.
It was, mate. It was, and it was exactly this. It was almost a mirror image of Slough, but we were even worse in the first half at Slough.
Really?
I mean, I can only comment for the first 15 minutes because I drove the wrong way down the M5. And was 15 minutes late for the game. An incredible turn of fashion. It's never happened to me before, but I got halfway down. I thought, hang on, Sedgemoor weren't meant to be on that side. I better turn around and get back to Slough. So I was 15 minutes late.
Where were you coming from?
Bristol. So I picked Benton up from Bristol and then drove from there. So I've just driven the wrong way down the M5. But what the point is, as soon as we walked in, Slough have scored. And I thought, I'm really glad I rushed to get here. Obviously, if there's any police officer listening, I rushed at 70 miles an hour, but I really rushed to get there.
It's my favourite speed to rush at and take it easier.
Yeah, exactly. It's sort of best of both worlds, 70 miles an hour. You can rest at it and you can speed at it. But yeah, it was, as soon as they scored, I didn't see their goal, but it was the worst I've ever seen Torquay play for the first half against Slough on Monday. We couldn't string two passes together. They didn't look particularly good, but it just looked like no one cared. It was honestly
the Worthing game.
Yes, yeah, it was almost, first half was as bad as, if not worse than the Worthing game at Slough. Yeah. It was awful. Didn't have a shot on target. They genuinely, and I know this is said a lot as a throwaway comment, right? They genuinely should have been 4-0 up at halftime. If it wasn't for Mark Holstead, that game is completely out of reach. Some of the saves he made were ridiculous. There was one right at the end of the half from a corner that he parries round the post. And I don't know how he saved it now. You might have seen on the highlights. Absolutely ridiculous save. And we should have gone in 2 or 3-0 down. We were lucky we can't. And you've got to, I think part of you has to credit something in the dressing room, whether it be Gary Johnson giving him a kick up the backside or whether it be themselves picking themselves up to come back and fight that game out then after that. Do you know what I mean? To come back and give that much spirit to come back and win it. Two really well taken goals by Bradley Ash. Pretty much our only chances, but really well taken goals. And you come away with 3 points. But it's, you just can't help but shake this feeling that that's not going to last. That's not how this is going to go. Do you know what I mean?
It's a difficult one for me because I think it depends how you look at it. Because you could say, you know, reasonably, actually, it's a squad full of players that have just been relegated, so the confidence won't be high, you know. But despite that, they're still grinding out results. Because you look at the table, 4 from 4, like 4 wins out of the last 4, you can't argue against that.
No, you can't. Yeah, you absolutely can't.
Since that, because, I mean, don't get me wrong, that Worthing game was inexcusable. That was the worst I've ever in almost 20 years ago, and that's the worst I've ever seen Torquay. And I thought it was the first time that I genuinely thought there is no way I can defend that. And I think anyone who does defend it is just kind of is kidding themselves, because that was it was just sad. It was sad to watch. I thought, I don't think I've ever been so kind of just emotionless watching the club. I just thought,
yeah,
this
100%,
is awful.
100%.
You know, so to get four wins from since that game.
It was like that the first half at Slough, though. Honest to God, like, it was awful. And you
that's
thought,
what I was
going to
say
again.
Is like, what I find weird is we're clearly in the first half, because we weren't good in the first half on Saturday. It got to half time and I thought, I've seen no quality. The only bit of quality I've seen is their goal. You know, it just all seems so lethargic. Second half, we come out and we look like a proper football team. You know, 1-0 down, come back to win 2-1. I'm not saying it was perfect football. And I tell you what, you can absolutely tell that we're missing someone really good in central midfield.
Yeah, we're missing Kevin Dawson. Yeah,
Lapsley and Donnellan are good at what they can do, but they are both limited in terms of going forward with the ball. But in the second half, we look better. And you just think the manager, he clearly knows how to get them back up and going for the second half. But you think, why can't we play well for 90 minutes? I mean, me and Josh were saying on the way over, we could really do with one of those from the last time we were in the Conference South, one of those 4-0s or 5-1s or something, where you kind of come away thinking, God, we are good. We're walking.
Not one game has been convincing. I can't. Chippenham, I thought we were awful as well on the Tuesday. Terrible for the first half.
I just thought that was two bang average football teams going against each other.
Yeah, I just thought we were terrible. And then Slough, I thought, first half was terrible. We weren't brilliant in the second half, I wouldn't have said. I think it was fantastic. It was just well-worked and well-taken goals, which is ultimately what football's about, isn't it? Whoever scores the most goal wins.
Yeah,
and
for me, we're
to.
Showing that, you know, because you can't, don't get me wrong, I think I've still got the hangover from coming down, as much as I was kind of trying to get really up for the season. I think I've still got that, like, you know, you go back and you're so used to seeing us just be shit that you almost think, what's the point? But then, you know, you could argue that, oh, we're playing really badly, but you could say, you know, it takes, you know, every team that does well and goes up wins when they play badly. That's always been the key.
Yeah, yeah.
And the way I hope it would happen, if I've got rose tinted glasses on, is that, like, actually, once they've, you know, they'll look at the table and go, hang on a minute, we're fourth, we've won four on the bounce, we can start playing with a bit of freedom, start actually going for it. But something isn't right, whether it's the midfield. And I'll tell you what I've got to bring up. I know he scored a really good free kick. Slightly suspect goalkeeping, I'll be honest, but he scored a good free kick all the same. But Stobbs and Collins aren't the ones.
They're not the players we had last season, are they? No, I don't.
Well, Stobbs was very hit and miss last season, I'll be honest. I was never blown away by him, but I thought, okay, he can whip a ball and he's got a set piece on him. But neither of them are delivering as I thought they would.
I do think Stobbs in spells looks dangerous. I don't know if that's completely fair. I do think in spells Stobbs can look dangerous. Sometimes in a game where no one else is making anything happen, I don't think he's afraid to get on the ball and try and take a man on. Granted, it doesn't happen as often as it should.
I'll absolutely agree with you there. He does, you know, he's my type of player, again, like Ash, who will give it a go and he'll put a shift in. It's just, I think for a player that I've got, I don't mean to dig him at all. I like Stobbs, and I think he's one of those that I'm always disappointed when players that I know are good aren't delivering. And it's the same as Collins, where you think, I'm not sure whether it's, well, I don't know, I'm not a football manager. Maybe it's the central midfield pairing or whatever, but both of them are capable of so much better. And I think the second those two get a bit better, I think we see a different, you know, a completely different return from
Ash and Jarvis. It doesn't sound like, I think that Worthing game just completely shot us of every single bit of confidence we gained as a group, is the only way I think I can put it.
Yeah.
In that, I don't think they trust each other properly yet, again, after the absolute humiliation that Worthing was, because that, again, should have been 6 or 7, really, if you're looking at the saves that Halstead had to make and stuff.
It's annoying that Halstead is already running away with Player of the Year award.
Yeah. When you're fourth in the league, it's weird. But, yeah.
And also, when you're playing at this level, he shouldn't be in that conversation. Mark Halstead, he should go for his 20 Lambert and Butler sat on the goal line every game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I agree. But I think there's an element, it's obviously complete speculation. I just feel like there's an element of mistrust there where it was meant to be brilliant. Look at our pre-season. It was meant to go fine. We were meant to press teams, get the ball off and be 4-0 up within 25 minutes. And that was it. Do you know what I mean? I know it's never that simple, but that was the game plan. And the Worth, I mean, the Dover game was awful as well. But the Worthing game, I just thought, I think it's completely shot them, one, of any confidence, and two, of any trust in each other. And they for a group that's played to, so this is the thing. So with Yeovil, right, they're struggling at the moment. They've had a few dodgy results. They're not very happy. And I have a bit more, I'd have a bit more truck with it if I was them, because you could brought in a hell of a lot of new players who have to gel and click together, right? That's not an excuse for this team. This team played together for what, 10 weeks towards the end of the last season. When they were coming back in, it was all about how good it is to be back part of the same group, yeah, and that they can just sort of carry on. Johnson made a big thing of it, of we don't have to work on as many things as we would if it was a new group, because these lads have already played together. But they looked, some for the first half against Slough, for pretty much 70 minutes, I thought, against Braintree, it looked like 11 strangers on the pitch. No one knew who was going where. No one knew what pass to make. They were just shot of anything. And look, I completely understand. People are probably listening to this that I would describe as a happy clapper, but they'll probably just find themselves as a positive talkie fan, thinking, what on earth are you moaning about? We've won four on a trot. But I think you've got a right as a team, a full-time team in this league, with the quality we've got, to not be happy with the level of performance that we're seeing. And I think that's ultimately what it boils down to.
Yeah, and I would never, ever, 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 ever go out of my way to compare us to the North London team that play in white. But a lot of their fans got quite frustrated. For years, really, since Pochettino got sacked, because even if they were winning games, they weren't playing positive football. It was quite negative. Even as a West Ham fan, I remember when Allardyce was in charge. We were safe. We under Allardyce, safe as houses. We never in risk of going down. But the quality of football was so bad. And it's just that, like, it's not just about winning. It's about enjoying the football that you're watching. I think at the moment, ultimately, don't get me wrong, I'd rather win playing badly than lose playing well. But I think you're right. It's not too much for us to expect a little bit better in terms of the quality. Now, I think you're absolutely right. I think one of the things that you kind of got to consider is that Worthing game was just a big slap around the chops for them, because, let's be honest, I don't think they expected at any point to lose by that margin in this league.
Not at any point, no.
And Worthing were all right. I wouldn't say they're the best team I've ever seen at
Playmore. I thought they were very good, actually. I
wouldn't say
they're
the best team
good.
I've ever seen at Playmore, but they were all right. You know, they were good on the day, but I think we made them look better than they probably were personally. Hopefully it is just a bit of a hangover from that, and now they're starting to get points on the board. You can almost think, right, there's clearly that, there is something here, we'll be all right. I mean, the only thing I do think is we could do with a clean sheet. I'm looking at the table in front of me. We're on plus one goal difference. Yeah. Worthing are on 10. You know, they've only conceded three.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, we haven't even scored all that many, really, in the grand scheme of things, have we? If we're being completely
honest. Scored nine.
Yeah, nine off what, five? And a lot of that is because we're having to come from 1-0 down from behind. Look, I think there's an element to be said that if this team, and it's a big if this team clicks, then I think we run away with the league. I don't think there's too much. Do you know what I mean? Because I don't think Yeovil having hit the ground running, I think they're probably going to end up getting rid of Mark Cooper, because a lot of their fans are really, really unhappy, just as our fans were with Gary Johnson after the Worthing result and all that sort of thing. So I think they're going to. I still think they'll be up there or thereabouts. But look, there's a huge opportunity, and it's not because of where we are or how good we are. It's purely because I don't think there are many other teams, player for player, as good as ours, and I think that's going to drag us through. I was about to say, it's not how you want to go up. It doesn't matter how you go up. What all that matters is winning football matches. You do just want to see the slightly better performances, but there's a huge opportunity that if this team can click, like they did when Johnson came in the first time in the National League South, that we could absolutely run away with it. But that has to happen soon, doesn't it? Because I know we just said it's all about winning football matches. We will not get away with many more playing like we've been playing. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of plain to see for everyone that's watched the games, is that, you know, it's riding the wave while we can. But, you know, even more recent than last time we were in this league, just how we were playing at the end of last season, if we can get that. I mean, the only thing is, you look at that and you are kind of missing the spine of that team. You know, you're missing Nico Lawrence, you're missing Kevin Dawson, and to a degree, Asa Hall, and you're missing that. I can't remember his name, the guy that came up from. He wasn't that good.
I don't want to talk about him.
But yeah, I mean, like you say, and the other thing I've noticed is we really kind of take advantage when the other team starts to tire, because naturally
it's a huge advantage for us to have. Yeah,
you know, naturally their players, they were all cramping up come 70 minutes, and our players are kind of, you know, I'm not a huge fan of him, but you'd hope that Dylan De Silva could do something against the tired defence. Like I say, cards on the table, I wouldn't have re-signed him. I'm not a big fan of his. I genuinely don't really see what he offers. But if he's cheap and he gives a tired defence a bit of a hard time, great.
I think if his name didn't fit in the chant, I don't think we would have done. Name, do you know what I mean? I don't think we would have. If you couldn't go old Dylan De Silva in the 23rd minute of a game, I don't know if we'd have re-signed him at all.
I honestly don't know why the Popside fans get so excited about him. I can't see what they see. No, I sometimes watch it. I think, am I missing something completely?
Yeah.
But I don't think I am.
That being said, I did think he did all right when he came on Monday, actually, against Braintree. The other thing about the two games is obviously Braintree's goal and chances and the same against Slough. We are very open at the back, aren't we? Do you know what I mean? Is that going to be solved by Dean? My thoughts are that's going to be solved by Dean Moxie coming back in. A bit of experience in that back line might just shore that up a bit. And if we can stop conceding goals, we're obviously going to win games because we've got two very good goal scorers up front, I think.
Yeah, but and that's the thing. You know, I think... I agree. I think if you get Dean Moxie fit, there's no point in playing him unless he is genuinely 100% fit. But you could see he won the penalty on Saturday just from being a clever footballer.
Yeah, well, it was a throw in the box, wasn't it, from him that caused it, sort of thing.
You know, he just knows what he's doing. But if you put him at centre-back with... I mean, I'll be honest, I'd play him and... Actually, it's a toss-up between Tomlinson and Marshall. It's nice that Marshall's back, and I'd love him to have a kind of proper redemption season. But,
yeah, yeah.
I mean, both, I think, are probably just all right at this level. I don't think either of them are going to set the world light. But...
I think Marshall next to Moxie would work. I think that's a combination. That's two relatively experienced defenders, isn't it? That I think would do a relatively good job at this level. I don't see too much wrong with that. But yeah, it's just weird. It is really strange because you're looking at the team thinking player for player, bar maybe the midfield. This is maybe, obviously, bar our last team. I don't think there's much comparison between the last team that won, but it's got to be one of the best teams player for player that's played in this division. And
well, you'd say it's the best that apart from
ours,
our team that went up.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, because you look and Yeovil have got some good names, but I'm not one to plug other podcasts on this, but Under the Cosh had their most recent one had Scott Laird on, who we had on loan for about two games in 2007. And he's played under some kind of pretty colourful characters. One of them being Graham Wesley, which is great hearing some of those stories.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if you listened to it, but it
the
is.
Wilder one was that.
Yeah.
Really? Yeah.
Wilder coming to get you. That really, I was stuck in traffic. I was absolutely creasing at that. But fantastic. The other one is Mark Cooper. I won't ruin it for anyone that hasn't listened to it, but the way he said that Mark Cooper treats people, I thought, wow, I'm sorry. But, and he said, worst man manager he's ever come up against. Like, tactically, all right. And you can see that he's clearly, because he's done all right in his career. But
well, I can't work out why he signed 45 strikers all over the age of 72, if I'm completely honest with you. It's all a little bit bizarre, isn't it?
Well, but that's the thing.
Terrible injury records.
Because they, you know, I don't want to make this a Yeovil podcast, but they've played, of their six, they've played four at home.
And they still, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, they'll home will be an absolute fortress for them because, you know, all three stands will make some sort of noise. And it's, you know, it's the same as us. It's quite a long way to get to. And it's probably harder to get to Yeovil for a lot of them because it's...
To be fair, it is like... I was actually saying this the other day. Geographically, they are like the perfect position for the National League South, really, in terms of getting to away games. Like, nowhere's really that far other than somewhere in Essex or something, is it?
Yeah.
So, I get what you're saying. But
away from home and all the plastic pitches, they're up shit creek because our players... But like Josh Thornton, their captain, has literally... He released a statement to start saying, yeah, I won't play on plastic pitches.
Allegedly, just bear in mind I'm saying allegedly, it's in Frank Nublé's contract that he won't either. So, I mean, that could be a reason why we didn't end up signing him, because you can't just sign a striker for, oh, sorry, you can't play in sort of half the away games this season,
you
unfortunately.
Can't sign a striker on ridiculous money who's not going to play
every game,
a third of the games.
Exactly. So, yeah, it's a little bit bizarre. One thing I did want to address as well, obviously, I don't know if you listened to Johnson's post-match interview on Monday. I did want to talk about this. He was saying he was getting a lot of stick from the fans behind him at 1-0 down, and he got some stick my hands up for myself included up from on at Slough before half time when it was just a little bit ridiculous, and he seemed to think because we'd won everything was okay, and I sort of get that a little bit, but he I don't know if you actually heard, by the way, so two fans apparently made some remarks which crossed the line is what Johnson said. I want to actually know if you think this is crossed the line, because I think this is hilarious. But apparently the two people at Bristow's bench said to him, "Why you go to Hibs? There's a job going there." I don't think that's overstepping the line.
No, I'm sorry, but if you... No.
That's apparently what they said. It could have been something a lot worse, and I don't know if that's the case.
I still like Gary Johnson, right? Worthing was the first game that I ever thought, I can't... It was the first time I said, I'm not going to back him after this, but I also... I'm personally not ready to say get him out. I just even if that's what I thought, I just couldn't bring myself to say it.
But I understand.
I'm not going to lie. For someone who's been in football for so long, I bet he said some pretty questionable things over the years.
Well, yeah, exactly.
You know,
exactly.
That's just a bit of fun. You know, and it's, don't get me wrong. No, I'm not. You know, it's always a shame for people when they lose jobs, but Lee Johnson will be paid up. He's not going to be hard up, you know.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
He will get another job, whether it's a League Two job or a League One job or whatever. He will get another job.
My worry is he gets this bloody job. That's my when his dad goes.
I put something on a group chat recently. I said, Gary Johnson upstairs, Lee Johnson in. I'm sorry. It's not beyond the realms of possibility.
It's not necessarily what I want, but it's not beyond the realms of possibility.
His wife will be working me on a bar as well.
Yeah, she already does, I think, doesn't she? When she's not cooking him a cottage pie on a Sunday or whatever it is.
But my feeling is that it's a little bit of a... Because you notice that he doesn't really come over if we win now. Certainly not to the same degree. I think he sort of did the...
Oh, he took the applause on Monday, didn't he? Yeah.
But he wasn't not in the way that he used to. He's a bit... He's damned if he doesn't, damned if he doesn't. I think the way he's been at the moment, kind of after a win by sort of coming over a bit but not really milking it, is the perfect way to be. Because don't get me wrong, if we get to December and we're still on this run, most people will probably be like, do you know what? We're winning enough matches.
Yeah, exactly. But, no, I will. And if look, it's ultimately about winning football matches, isn't it? Like I say, and if we keep winning football matches, I don't really massively care how. It's about getting out of the division. And if we're winning football matches, I don't massively care. The worry is we're going to come unstuck. But you're right. If we keep this run up, I can't berate him. Do you know what I mean? I was very vocal that after the Worthing game, I thought he should have gone. After the first 85 minutes against Chippenham, I thought he should have gone. And after the first half at Slough, I thought he should have gone. Nothing really changed between them. But the bottom line is we've won four on the trot. And it's as simple as that is. I know this sounds negative regarding it, but it is the performances. But you're right. He's sort of handling it as well as he possibly can. The jury is very much still out for me. He's got a lot to prove back.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, I mean... Ultimately, he's got to win. He's got to win his promotion. I've said that from the outset this season, and that's on him and the board. If they want, if any of them want any credibility to come out of any of this,
they have to go up.
There is no excuse in my eyes. We are one of two or three full-time teams with. Yeah, I don't know the budget, but you look at the squad and it's that, like, actually, there is no reason why we shouldn't go up. The first time was a bit of fun. When we came down, this time it's like, no, this can't be a regular.
And we're not staying down here now. Yeah, exactly.
Let's make this last time. But like I say, every fan is welcome to criticise. But I'll be honest, I've given up listening to full-time interviews. It's the same thing every time.
Agreed.
But what I would say is it's, you know, don't get me wrong. I don't really see the point in leaving early, especially when it's, if we're 3-0 down to Worthing, crack on.
I did actually think that was really poor form from both the club and Johnson, if I'm completely honest with you.
But I did think it was a bit...
I did actually tweet about this. £20 to watch that was the disgrace for 70 minutes of it. I know we ended up winning, but the football was terrible and we were terrible.
Yeah, see, I actually put more on the club here, that it's that they, it's almost as if the football club have, or sorry, TUAFC, have refused to acknowledge that we are actually playing regional football again. It's the fact, you know, when we got relegated, it was that, oh, we're going to freeze prices. All right, so you're not lowering prices to go and watch a dreadful standard football.
Yeah,
it's that, oh, don't leave early. Right.
Yeah, the admin and Johnson both really, really ballsed up there, I think.
No, my thing is, no one is reading the room. No one is reading the room. It's like, actually, fans are pissed off. We don't want to be here. We're also, you know, I'm thrilled that we're winning. And we played well in the second half. And I think, I genuinely think we're in a point now where get another win away from home on Saturday. Away from home, don't really give a monkey's how we play, because ultimately, the same as any league, away games are always a bit trickier. Home games, play well. Put a bit more into it. But I do think, like you say, it will click, especially, I think, just getting that Worthing game out of the system. That was a wake-up call for them that they probably needed. But like I say, I think that the whole thing, that no one at the club is reading the room. At all. That is my concern, is that one is kind of going, actually, people aren't happy. I think everything from the performances on the pitch to the management of, the management of the club in terms of the ownership, everything has to improve. No one is reading the room, and it's just it's a little bit deflating. You know,
And
until we are many, many points clear at the top, and it's all but a done deal. It's not party time. It's not time to pretend that
even winning the title it's not party time like it was last time, because that was like a new dawn, wasn't it? It felt like
And it was the first bit of success we'd had in so long after.
This is the continuation of a pretty poor couple of years, really, for us. I'm glad you brought that up, actually, because I really did think he personally was miles off the mark there. And I certainly thought the admin running the Twitter was miles off the mark there, saying never leave early. You're well within your right to leave early, and you shouldn't be berated for doing so when you've watched utter shit, really. If we're being completely honest, certainly for the first 45 minutes, you've watched utter shit there. Do you know what I mean? If you want to leave early and you want to give them a bit of shit, you're well within your right to do so, because you've just paid what is for regional football an extortion amount of money. And I don't think the club should be. It's the sort of thing you'd expect the club to put if we'd just beaten Yeovil away, talking about the Yeovil fans. That's the sort of level of pettiness that came from both Johnson and the admin, I thought, who tweeted that. It was just off the mark. It was just a bit, it just left a sour taste, didn't it, I think?
Yeah, no, exactly. I just thought it was a bit, we've won.
Yeah,
just win and move on.
Why don't you just tweet United grab it late, right to death? Anything? There's literally an endless amount of metaphors.
Jump on Gary time again.
Yeah.
Last two home games in a row we've won have been late on. Just push Gary time again.
In Gary time, but you don't have to have a pop at the fans that left early, because at the end of the day, they're the ones.
Fucking fair play for 2,500 fans.
It's fucking mental.
I thought at this stage we'd have 1,500 tops.
It is a crazy attendance. It doesn't matter.
There were 25 away fans or whatever it was. It's ridiculous that we're getting that many.
It's crazy.
It's amazing. So, you know,
don't berate the ones that are still going, else it's a case of last one out, turn the lights off, innit? Do you know what I mean?
Keep them on side. But I don't get me wrong.
Retro goals is back though as well, if you're interested. It's always bloody back. Every single week.
I didn't realize it went anywhere.
No, nor did I, mate. Nor did I. At least they're communicating in that way, mate. It is all a little bit bizarre, isn't it? But of course, we do look ahead to Saturday, Aveley away. I don't think they've started too badly, have they? They look a tidy little side for a team that's just come up. I think they've got a little bit of money behind them. It's a long old trip. It's not as easy, perhaps, as it looks, but at the same time, it's fucking Aveley away. Come on. Do you know what I mean?
Well, that's the thing. So I've got the table. They're fifth. They're a point behind us. They've won 4 and lost 2, scored 11, conceded 4. So they've got a better defence than us and actually a better goal scoring record than us. So
Chippenham and Dartford's looking at it, and they were only narrow 1-0 losses as well. The games they've won have been a little bit more convincing than that.
Yeah, and everyone's saying that kind of the modern day Histon, if you like, that kind of absolutely nothing club that have got a bit of cash behind them, probably aren't to be written off. But again,
it's Avely.
Yeah, it's I don't want to disrespect any club in this league apart from Yeovil.
Oh, no, I do. Fuck them. Avely. Who are they? Who are they?
Who are they?
Exactly. Avely. Who gives a shit about Avely? They've got a bit of money behind them.
I don't want to disrespect any team in this league. I do. I've got no qualms about upsetting anyone. Braintree's number nine. When he scored the other day, he gave it the cup in the ears to the home fans. He kicked the ball away when the penalty went. I'm shouting expletives at him, thinking, wanker. I hope there's a long old drive back to Essex.
Yeah.
And it's not even a nice bit of Essex. Braintree. It's good for a retail outlet. That's it. Great outlet, Village, by the way.
Oh, there you go.
For the away
so
game.
So Partridge.
Well, you know, missed the radio. But like I say, I don't care how good they are or how much money they got or what form they're on. It's a team called Avely who we've literally, before 6 months ago, I genuinely wouldn't, if someone said, oh, name
even
the
six weeks ago, I'd have never come up with them.
So
6 weeks ago, I wouldn't have known. No, look, I mean, you've got to respect they've been on good form. At the end of the day, it's about two teams going head to head against each other. It doesn't matter about stature. It doesn't matter what you've won or where you've been, all jokes aside, does it? But we should be beaten. It's as simple as that, you know. And you could, like I said, to be honest, I'd be happy with a draw and no injuries, because I think win your home games, draw your away ones, and you'll be all right. And we're averaging that 2 points a game that we need. We'd still be averaging that 2 points a game we need if we got a point. I'm relatively happy to games like that against teams who look like they're going to cause us problems. Offer me a point where we play well, and I'd take that.
Well, that's the thing. At the moment, I do still feel like it's a case of get the points on the board and then we'll focus on
performances,
stringing more passes together. And that's what I will absolutely give Johnson and the team credit for, is since Worthing, they are putting the points on the board. I feel like they've had their kick up the arse. They're getting the points on the board. And I am still backing Johnson and Downs and the team. But I don't think it's unreasonable for the fans to expect a little bit more in terms of quality.
The jury is very much still out for me. I'm still not sure on them, because I think at the end of the day, he got us relegated. There's no getting away from that. And
I was listening to another podcast with Sam Allardyce on, and he was the Notts County manager years ago, and he took them down and he kept his job. And he always, he said, if you are a manager that takes a club down and you keep your job, said you've got 10 games maximum, 10 games.
And look, he's won four and drawn one of those first opening six, so you know it looks like he's done enough. But for me, I don't think the performance is enough at this level at the moment for me to be happily backing him again. It's going to take a hell of a lot. Win the next five or six on the trot as well, then we'll talk. But for me, the jury's very much still out on Gary Johnson. Because I think those players, even without a manager, could have strung together those wins. I really do. It wasn't pretty. It wasn't nice. It wasn't... Do you know what I mean? It's not like there's been any definite tactical change other than switching from the back five, which has never worked under Johnson.
But
it's literally never worked.
But what I would say, I do agree, I've never been a fan of that system, but what I would say, at least he did change it. You know, he wasn't so stubborn.
I mean, I physically don't think we had enough midfielders for him not to change it, but I get what you're saying.
But like, he did change it. And my thing is, we are winning games. So like I said, I completely get, you know, everyone is, you know, the jury is out. You're absolutely right. Until we get promoted, the jury's out.
Yeah.
But at least, and I do think the fact that it's changed at half time both times, like with the performance, you think he's clearly still got his half time.
You can't argue with that. You can't argue with that. Yeah.
Just a quick note on one player before we move on to whatever. How good is it to see Dan Martin playing well?
Yeah, and he looks good. He looks good.
For me,
looks...
that could end up being something.
That was another weird. That was a weird one at Slough as well. He hooked him after 15 minutes at Slough, which was a little bit bizarre.
Yeah, I'm not sure what happened there. I'm not sure if it was an injury or what.
There was no injury. There was definitely no injury. It was a performance based thing, I think. But it was all a little bit bizarre. But yeah, it's great to see him back right amongst it. It looks like Brett McGavin is essentially never going to properly play for the club again, doesn't it?
Sorry, but that performance, whether I really tried to back him and kind of
go again,
fight
his
corner this summer, but that performance at Worthing was to the point that I don't want to be horrible about. I genuinely felt sorry for him, and you think he's probably grown up, dreamt of being a professional footballer, you know, coming through at Ipswich, and for him to sort of almost see like play that game. I just thought, get him off for his own good. It's just no. Like,
I think
it was actually sad to see a player.
Yeah, yeah. I just seriously, I don't know who is in Ipswich's academy that has seen a player in him from a young age to think, like, was he more mobile as a child? Do you know what I mean?
The thing is, I've said it so many times. He can clearly take a set piece. He can clearly, if he's got no pressure, pass the ball. But the problem is, he just can't move. I've never seen. It's like watching Per Mertesacker play in midfield.
It's weird. It is absolutely bizarre.
I don't know where Per Mertesacker came from. I've had a really long day, but it worked.
It worked, mate. Well, as long as you thought it worked, that's the main thing.
Thank you.
So just very quickly before we wrap up, how do you see the game going on Saturday? Is it going to be one, do you think, where it's going to be another poor performance, if I can get it out? And do you think it will click finally, or do you think it'll be somewhere in the middle?
I think it's somewhere in the middle. I don't want to sit on the fence too much, but I do think it'll be somewhere in the middle because, like I say, it's a chance to get a fifth win in a row, which we haven't done for ages. You look at last season, we lost every game in August. We're now actually watching our team win. That's the thing that I don't want to sound too negative because we are watching our team win. We're fourth. We're two points off top. To be honest, I away from home, I don't care about the performance. I just care about not losing. So, I'll take a draw, but I'm going to go for a 1-0 win. I think it'll be a smash and grab.
I think it'll be similar to St Albans. I think we'll nick it. I think you're right. Look, Sam, it's been an absolute pleasure, my friend. I hope we do come away with all 3 points, and I'm sure we'll chat again soon, my friends.
Yeah, and if Mr. what's his name from the radio is listening, then you must be gutted.
You must be gutted listening to this. Yeah, you really must be. You really must be gutted, Mr. Martin. Unlucky.
Yeah.
It's not Dan Martin's dad either, before you all start. It's not Dan Martin's dad. Pressure, this has been Talking Talkie podcast. Of course, this is episode 127. Thank you so much for joining us.